This is Rose Diamond and Woods Elliott from A Whole New World, and we're about to have a conversation, the first in many conversations, to inquire and explore into what does it mean to be awake and what is the process of awakening. And this is in relation both to the book that we just started writing called Seeds for a Whole New World and the interview series that I will be starting very soon called Awaken the Whole New Human. So over to Woods, who's going to tell us a little bit about how we do our conversations.
Well, thank you, Rosie. Well, I thought at the beginning it would be a good idea to provide a little bit of a history of how we've ventured into special conversations we've alternately called deep or presenceful, and what those have been about. They've been a part of our consciousness practice in general. When Rosie lived here with me a number of years back, we had three sessions a week in which we would set up some special conditions of being highly receptive and attentive and relaxed and trusting and loving and so on, and then turn the recording on and try to kind of go to our cores and speak from the deepest voice we have. And so this series is a resumption of those conversations. So both Rosie and I know, have a lot of excitement and excited anticipation for resuming them, because we've missed that special connection that we had. I think just to keep it simple, conversations that we've been practicing have involved a longer, each person taking a longer time than usual, while the other person is highly attentive, a highly attentive listener. And then there's an attempt to reflect back what has been heard by the other person while they were listening before they also take an equally long turn. So anyway, that kind of gives a little bit of an idea that maybe these dialogues and conversations will have some new elements that we've brought into them. And, of course, this first one on awakening couldn't be more exciting. Do you have a feeling, Rosie, of wanting to take the first turn? Or
okay, well, I can do. Yeah,
whatever you'd like. Why don't you do that then?
Okay.
I'll be an attentive listener.
Thanks, Woods, for that intro, and I realize that you know, I'm very excited about resuming our deep discovery conversations, and really, it's a process of inquiry, isn't it? We're inquiring into, we're not saying that we have any answers, we're trying to find the answers deep inside ourselves. And so I'm aware of right now that the opening both to this process of inquiry and the deep conversation and the opening to awakening is probably one and the same thing, in as much as we start from a state of presence. So I'm just really bringing myself into a state of the greatest state of presence that I can right now, and feeling my excitement and feeling my connection with you, Woods, and also kind of feeling out to anybody who may listen to this conversation at any time in the future. And that's also part of a bigger presence, really. So maybe that's a doorway into this subject of awakening, is that we, it's something to do with opening into the inner self, of course, and this state of presence is a really important part of it. And that's like a doorway, for me, that's like a doorway into a much bigger self, almost like a limitless self, You know, I just talked there about the possibility of people listening into the future, but in this place, this awakened, more awakened place, there is really no past and future. We are simply in the now, and there is really no here or there. There's simply here. So right here, you know, you're actually, in physical terms, thousands and thousands of miles away, but right here, we're in the space, sharing this space together. So there's something there about in a more awakened state that time and space cease to have the same limitations that they do in ordinary reality, you know, in a more everyday kind of consciousness. So that would be the first thing that I noticed about it. And I also want to say from the beginning that I for me, awakening is a process. It's not something that happens all at once. I believe that we're all in the process of awakening, that we're all in a different point on this process of awakening. And that this particular time where everything is changing so much for us collectively, everything is changing in the world, seems to me to be a huge opportunity for us to awaken more quickly to the greater realities. So when I say the greater realities, that it is about this extension of our identity, you know. So we're moving out of our little boundary sense of little me, little sense of self, that we have to take care of little me, into the, you know, bigger identifications with our communities, with the world at large, and even with the cosmos. That's what I see this process to be about, this awakening to these larger identities and these extended dimensions. So, you know, one of those dimensions is the inner self, which is limitless, and you know, cosmos is also limitless, and maybe they're one and the same thing. I do believe they are. But maybe I'll just stop there. You know, that's a fairly brief first turn for me, Woodsy. But I'll stop there and you know, let you have your first turn.
Let me respond a little first to what you said, Rosie. This attempt to enter a state of presence and let ideas, wherever they come from, inform us, and so we can be discovery oriented and receptive and intuitive, instead of coming in with a set agenda or a certain set of ideas that we in advance had conjured up. That part of what adds more dimension for the discussions that we have is staying as open as we are to what can unfold for us in the moment. I heard you talking about the importance of opening into the inner self, and that presence can become a portal for that. And while I was listening, I was thinking about how we have both been psychotherapists in the past who have engaged other people in acts of self-discovery where they unfolded their understanding of things that were troubling them or bothered them or obstructed them. And so our beginnings are there, listening deeply, and how somehow listening deeply helps to foster deeper self-expression, more meaningful self-expression. I think I saw that over and over again in my work with people, how available they were when given the opportunity to speak from the core. And I agree with what you say about it being a process. Some people seem to jump to the end quicker than we want them to, because we're struggling more slowly to try to get there, and somehow it doesn't seem right that they got there so soon. But awakening must be tied in with what's sort of the ultimate in human development. What can a fully realized human being be like? And that has something to do with awakening. I love the concept of awakening, because the more I venture into it, the bigger it gets. It's one of these words that seems to stretch. It's vague enough. It's subtle enough. It's refined enough, so that you, the more you go into it, the more facets it seems to have. I guess one of the, in sharing a couple of introductory ideas myself about awakening, I think there surely must be a primary relationship between awakening and consciousness, whatever that is. I don't think we really know what consciousness is yet. We don't know what it has to do with spirit and soul and even energy, if it has something to do with our energetic nature. But whatever consciousness is, I think awakening is like a twin term for it, or it has meaning in relationship to the evolution of consciousness in each of us. And as I thought about it, it seemed to me that each of our lives is kind of an evolution of consciousness in a living being, and our whole life, in a sense, is how awakened we get. Along with that is the sense that there's never an end to how much awakening there might be. So it's all a kind of case of how awake do we get relative to the potentials of that are limitless, like you were saying about the inner self. I think we're partaking of something that's limitless, and so awakening then is a huge concept. But I think the first thing that I'd want to say is its relationship to consciousness, its relationship to awareness itself. I like that awake and aware almost are spelled the same, because maybe that's a way of saying they're how akin they are. I like this idea that we are the awakening of consciousness in a universe that's learning to see itself through us and through our life experiences. And so that gives it a kind of a cosmic feeling, too. I also believe that consciousness and awakening is something the cosmos is expressing through us. And I guess the only other thought that comes to mind as some opening thoughts was that somehow awakening has to do with all the important and meaningful insights and discoveries we can have all life long if we're open to them. It's like so awakening is a kind of maybe a spiritual dimension of experience that lies dormant in us, and we need to activate it. We need to set it in motion in some way. Let me stop with that, Rosie, and pass it over to you and take a turn.
Okay. Oh, thank you, Woodsy. That was really, really rich. There's so much in what you said. So let me just see if I can respond. The first thing was about the deep, attentive listening. I think I was aware as I was listening to you that I was really trying to feel into everything you were saying, and and there were some big ideas in what you were saying. So this is, you know, as I listen in that way to you, that I feel myself being stretched, and that also you link that with the idea that when we listen deeply to another, that we enable, almost expand the possibilities for their self-expression. So it's almost like my presence as you're talking gives you that bigger space into which to expand your own thoughts and inquiry. So there's a sort of, that's a sort of synergistic aspect of the conversation, is that we're both supporting each other to go into this bigger space and explore this bigger space. And that's just the first thing you said. let me see. Well, obviously, yeah, this idea about awakening and consciousness and not even really knowing what consciousness is, I think that's a really important point too, because we talk a lot about consciousness these days, and the idea of it being awareness and energy, and I love the bit you said about, I can't repeat it exactly, but we are the awakening of consciousness in a universe that's learning to see itself, you know, that this puts us, I think this is a really important aspect of awakening, as I was linking it to that idea of awakening to bigger identities, that we do move into more being the eyes and hands and ears of the universe, you know, that we really, so it's very much an expansive process. But in relation to that, I want to say also that as a process, each of us goes through a process of expansion and contraction. So, I think up until now, people have tended to think about enlightenment. You know, we will reach a state of enlightenment, and there we are, bang, you know, we're at this new place. And I'm sure, I'm sure that's true. There are different stages of enlightenment where we'll never be the same as we were again. In my own experience, it's more of a kind of subtle developmental process, and definitely I'm moving through quite quickly now, new awakenings, you know, new realizations, new levels of being, letting go of old senses of who I am, old skins around my reality, as it were, you know, shedding the skin like the snake. But within that, I think on a daily basis, there's some days where I can be more awake than others. So there's definitely this feeling of expansion and contraction going on, that in an expanded state, I'm more identified with the, you know, with humanity or the universal, and in my contracted state, I return to being more identified with me, and me and my problems and what I have to do, but I don't see any. I'm not saying any of that in a kind of a way of judging it at all, because I think we've been conditioned, particularly in the West, to believe that we should be. That expansive and light is better than contracted and dark, and so that we try and shun the contracted and dark and be as much as we can in the expanded and light. And it's always been part of my experience that the actually contracted and darker episodes in this energy cycle are just as important as the expanded parts, because they're all part of the process. So when I find myself to be more contracted, although it's very uncomfortable, or it's relatively uncomfortable, there's always something there. It's part of it. It's almost like part of the liberation process. There's always something in that state for me to look at, to see anew, to release. It's part of. So there's an aspect of awakening, I would say, which has a lot to do with healing our limitations. Healing the contractions that are held in the body from old wounds and old hurts. So I would say that as we awaken, that we the very fact that we're bringing in more light, more light of consciousness, more light of awareness into our experience, means that that light shines onto any aspects of us which are not yet in alignment with the light. And that when we see those parts of us as, you know, those, as I said, those old ideas, those old limiting beliefs, those old hurts, that's the opportunity for us to let go and expand. So I would describe the whole process in that way, as a sort of developmental process of inner healing and liberation. I think that's an important, I'm not saying that that's all of what it is, but I think that's an important aspect of the awakening process.
Say that again, Rosie.
So the whole thing?
No, just,
or the last
just,
bit.
Yeah, the last
that,
bit.
That the healing, this healing the development process is an important part of what awakening might be.
Hmm.
So, over to you.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, expansion and contraction got me when you were talking about that. And I know for a long time you've believed that periods of contraction follow episodes of expansion, and that's kind of a cyclical way that it seems to unfold. And I thought about how awakening has something to do with becoming more conscious versus being unconscious, and has something to do with increasing awareness, and how important it is for us to awakening has something to do with, I suppose, being willing to look at those parts of ourselves which we're least comfortable with, and we're most apt to deny or project. And as I was listening to you, I remembered how important that part plays in awakening, personal awakening. Being willing to look at those parts of ourselves that are not acceptable. Let's see. I also agree with what you were saying about awakening being a part of healing. And when you were talking about healing ourselves from limitations, I was remembering that aspect of overcoming the illusion of separation, overcoming the illusion that we are our egos and selves and separate from others and separate from life and separate from humanity, and that awakening has something to do with the overcoming of those illusions. Let's see, what else was I thinking while I was listening to you? I've been thinking about how being aware has been the most important thing in my life, and how even as a young boy, I felt more awake looking around at the world around me. I was more astonished. I was more taken by how mysterious it all was to be alive. Wondering how that fit in. I think my life would stop if I couldn't participate in the act of discovering more of who I am, and awakening more. So whatever awakening is, it's right like in the core of what life is. I was also thinking about how awareness is something that not only humans have, and then wonder what awakening might mean in terms of not just human potentials and human development and evolution, but life itself, and what the purpose of life might be, if it has one. What else was I thinking of? I was thinking of what awakening might have to do with soul, and trying to grasping the sacredness of existence. Wondering what awakening had to do with that. Obviously, awakening has always had a spiritual, has a kind of a spiritual dimension to it, so that awakening was looked at as the uncovering of a spiritual dimension in reality that sort of remains hidden, and we have to kind of find it, find our way to it. So I wondered if awakening was a level of perception of what's real. You know, certainly mystics have believed that that's what's at the heart of awakening is the recognition of the sacred nature of existence. And of course, along with that, if from our psychological backgrounds, what might be the transpersonal perspectives, the evolutionary dimensions that you're studying with Craig Hamilton about right now, or the issues of cosmic consciousness and something larger than the small self. So maybe awakening is, as you were saying, extending one's identity from the small self to the big self and beyond the self entirely into all of life, all of humanity. I guess in some way I see, I guess just as a final thought for my turn here, Rosie, thinking in terms of what awakening has to do with self-development or self-realization. I guess I believe that awakening refers to one's movement towards wholeness, being complete as a person. And that maybe there are certain earmarks that announce awakening, broadcast awakening to us. Maybe it's wisdom, maybe it's heart, maybe it's a non-judging tolerance of others, or being at peace and having a calm or a presence, or being fully in the moment of being. Being non-egoic, being more compassionate towards others. So when I think about awakening, I think those are qualities that we attribute to awakening. And I guess the last thing I'd like to say echoes back to what we started talking about, which is how presence in one person can activate presence in another. And one of the thoughts that I just had was that maybe how awakened someone we feel in someone's presence is an indicator of whether they are awakened. Like maybe awakening is contagious. Has something to do with the energy basis of what awakening is, that when we're in the presence of somebody who's awakened, we become most awake. That's why you're one of the most awakened people I've ever known. And I know that because of how awake you brought me.
Oh, thank you, Woody.
You're welcome. Now let me stop there.
Well, I guess I was thinking something similar listening to you, because again I found what you've just said so rich, and there's such a lot that you've said in such a short time. And again, you know, that richness is like it's almost feels like it's something that's you know, we create this kind of presenceful energy field between us, and something comes through.
Mm.
You know, there's something bigger coming through.
Mm.
It's just as it does when I'm writing as well. You know,
mm.
that I feel like when I'm writing, particularly when I'm writing poetry, but any kind of writing, that I'm really making myself available for the universal intelligence to come through. And I feel that's what happens between, you know, when we're having these discovery conversations. But let me just go back and see if I can speak a little bit more about what you've just said. So, yes, you're talking about the illusion of separation, and that definitely, I think, is an important part of the awakening process, is that we are, you know, I see the most important part of all of this really is that we're moving beyond our own delusions. We're seeing through our illusions, you know, and that's part of that stepping into a bigger identity, in as much as, say when you're younger, you see things in a certain way, and then suddenly there'll come a point where you grow out of seeing things that way and you start to see things in a different way. And I think that's what the process of awakening is, that we're continually growing out of our ways of seeing things until there's nothing really to grow out of anymore, because we're simply in the present with what reality is.
Mm.
I think that's the awake state, where we're simply in the present with what reality is, and we're not judging it, we're not putting any concepts on it, we're just in it. And the illusion of separation, yeah. I mean, that's also a very important part of this movement that I think a lot of people are talking about now, is that we're on the way towards a more unity consciousness. We're on the way towards, you know, seeing ourselves as one humanity, one global family, one world. I think that's the biggest plus in, you know, if you look at all the kind of catastrophes and all the breakdowns going on in the world, and, you know, from one perspective, it feels like, you know, it's just sort of tragedy. But I think one of the best things that's coming out of that is it's moving more and more of us into this bigger sense of a we space rather than an I space, you know, that we're starting to think in these bigger terms. So definitely that fits in with what you were saying about the illusion of separation, that we, and particularly in the West, again, we've been conditioned into this very separate thinking, that we're all separate, thinking that we have to compete with each other, thinking that there's only a small pie and we all have to fight each other to get our piece of the pie. Mm. That's the old paradigm, and I think we're moving from that into this sense that we're all part of something much bigger, that we're all atoms really in the body. We're all atoms in the body of humanity, and we're all atoms in the body of the universe, and that when we start to when we start to realize that, that manifesting becomes much, much simpler, because we can learn to flow with those universal energies. And the more we get our little selves out of the way, the easier that's going to become for us, I think. So that also then ties in with your point about mystery that you said. I think you made a beautiful statement about, you know, I can't remember exactly what it was now, but if you're like, you know, that you didn't know if you could even have lived without that sense of mystery, and that's really what keeps you going, is you know, your mystery, your astonishment, your awe at the beauty and the wondrousness of life, and how it is all interconnected, and how it is all working in perfect harmony. And then that connects in with what you were saying later about your, you know, the motivating power of the discovery for you. And I know that's been a really important part in your life, that discovering more is what keeps you going, and you know, obviously the same for me, that there's, so the more, in a sense, like, you know, with the old paradigm, the old Western consumer paradigm, the more we've been looking for has been on the outside, you know, more things, more goods, more status, more money, more success. And I think this moving to this new, more awakened state, the more that we can discover inside us and between us. So it's, you know, and then we move into what you were talking about, the sacredness of existence and soul, that maybe that what is inside us and between us has more of that sense of soulfulness about it. I'm actually feeling that right now. There's a sort of different it's a kind of softer, more presenceful energy, which has it's full. It has a fullness to it when I'm in it. And for me, that's one of the signs that I'm in a more awakened state, is that I feel fulfilled. I feel filled up. I feel, you know, overflowing. I feel absolutely abundant and you know, to the nth degree and totally privileged, you know, to be here at this time on the planet, being just that sense of that, that there's so much that we're part of, and it's never ending, and we really just have to open ourselves to it. So, wow, and then you went on to talk about self-realization being a movement towards all these good things like wisdom and heart and wholeness and peace and calm, and yes. So that takes us into this whole area that we're calling the whole new human. You know, we're talking about if we want to create a whole new world, then we have to become the whole new human, because the whole new world is going to be created from inside of us. It's not, you know, it's something we have to bring from the inside out. So the first step along that path to being co-creators of a whole new world is to start to embody all these qualities that you mentioned, and to start to know that they're inside and that we can actually connect with them and access them and bring them out into the world. And that's where the practice comes in. That's the practice is about taking time every day to connect with that more expansive, more loving, wiser part of ourselves. And one of the practices is what we're doing right now, is to have this kind of presenceful conversation. Another practice might be meditation. I use writing a lot. You know, people have their own practice, but certainly I think having a daily consciousness practice is very, very important, and keeps us, you know, I know for me that on the days when I have this practice of writing a poem every morning, and that connects me with the universal consciousness part of myself. When I don't do that, I notice a difference. And I've noticed heard people say, if I don't meditate, I notice the difference. So it seems very important that we can fall back. We can fall out of this more awakened state back into, you know, stress and contraction. And that we can make a conscious choice to stay more expanded and stay more awakened by having the practices which support us to do that. So that's my turn.
Wow. Wow, Rosie. There's so many things that you covered there. I thought that that one piece that I'm surprised hasn't bubbled up sooner from one of us is creative actuation, and what role that might play in terms of awakening. I was wondering if there could be awakened people who weren't creative. I found myself thinking that, and I'm not sure. I think mostly I see fully creatively empowered people among those I would call more awakened. And I guess on some level I wonder if becoming fully creative is figuring out a way to unfold the evolutionary potential in us from the cosmos. I guess that's what I sort of believe the most, and that it has something to do with the need to expand like the universe. So when I a while back was listening to your idea of expansion and contraction following expansion. I always think in terms of expanding like the universe. So when we're in the flow with expanding like the universe, we can become more expansive and more soulful and more experience life as more sacred. And then when we go into contraction, like you were saying, we shift back into less expansive states. We contract, where we get caught up with us, we get caught up in our pain bodies, we get caught up with poor me, and I guess the discovery zone, I believe everyone needs to find their way to their own discovery zone, and that that's a part of individual awakening. So I guess maybe I think awakening has to do with somebody who has become the pure channel through which that universal energy can flow, something along that line. I also, along with that, wondered if there may be aesthetic qualities that awakened folks have, like the appreciation for art or beauty, or brilliancy or genius of any kind. Can you be awakened without having some sensitization to things like that, or as I said earlier, believing that being awakened has something to do with the recognition of the mystery of existence. Could somebody be awakened and not have any appreciation for that? I don't know. Could someone be awakened and not have a feeling about how extraordinary it is just to be alive as a human being? I don't think so. So there are a lot of subtle things there that can become a part of awakening in the fullest sense of you can always be more awake. I wonder, it leaves me wondering whether the question isn't so much what an awakened person is like, but what a more awakened person is like, how they may be different from a less awakened person. Maybe that maybe that would open up some ways to
right.
go.
Yay. Okay. Have you finished your turn, Witty?
Yeah, I have, Rosie. Thank you for letting me.
Okay. Again, you know, I'm having one eye on the world of time, so I think maybe I'll take my last turn, and then you know we can. There's so much in what we've said. It's like little sort of nuggets of full of things that could be expanded upon, but it may be enough for the first session. So I'll just see. I'll just talk to what you've said, and definitely the creative aspect is very very important. And you know, you were questioning whether you know, could you be awakened without having this creative aspect? And certainly, Craig Hamilton would say no, you couldn't, because there's this whole aspect of the evolutionary self, which is that part of us which you know very well about, with that started with the Big Bang and is still operating through us, which is the part that needs to evolve, that has to evolve, that and that's the creative aspect. So definitely I really liked your idea of us becoming the clear channels for the universal, whether you call it the universal intelligence or the evolutionary impulse, whatever words we use for that. And I think we're, you know, those of us who are interested in these subjects are really finding our words at the moment. We're finding a common language for how to talk about this, because this is all very new and kind of on the leading edge of human intelligence. We're really just discovering what all of this is as we live it, which is what's, for me, is what's so exciting about it. Similarly, you know, that nobody's ever created a whole new world before. If we if we manage to get through this transition and create something completely new from a completely different state of consciousness, then that'll be the first time. I mean, it won't be the first time in humanity's history that it's happened, because obviously there have been evolutions been going on ever since we were, you know, life existed. But it'll be the first time that it's happened in this way. So that's a sense of the, you know, awakening, being breaking, always breaking new ground. We're always stepping into the unknown, into the new. That it's an experimental process. That it's a process of, you know, doing something and seeing what happens, really, and then adjusting our course as we go. And so that is the creative process. It's that ability to be experimental and almost like a scientist, really, you know, doing something and then looking at the feedback and then readjusting and so on. Then you also connected in with the aesthetic, which I think is quite close to the creator, the aesthetic sense of the beauty and the form, you know, because I think when we're in the process of creating, especially if you're creating something like writing a book or a poem, or, you know, even with your chair, you know, chair caning and that sort of thing, you're working towards creating something which is beautiful. And, you know, what does that actually mean for something to be beautiful? I think if we looked, you know, that might be the subject for another conversation, because I think if we looked into what beauty is, we'd see a lot of these aspects and a lot of these qualities that you were talking about before that seem to that we seem to be connected with when we are in a more awakened state, you know, like harmony. You know, beauty has a lot to do with harmony and everything flowing together, sense of nothing being out of place, that sort of thing. So yeah, you're talking about the creative aspect, the aesthetic part, and then you came back to the discovery zone, and you know, this place that we're in right now, where we are nudging into the new, that we're nudging beyond what we know already, and just the very act of speaking, for instance, the very act of speaking out loud and being heard and being held in this kind of space enables that discovery to happen. It kind of enables us to step more into the unknown and to discover and to open ourselves to what's coming through us in the very moment of speaking. So I'm just taking a big breath there, you know, because it's I find this whole process, as you know, so exciting, and just feel very blessed to have you as a co-creative or evolutionary partner with, you know, because we're so aligned as to. And when we have these kind of conversations, it's just really such a pleasure to have these kind of conversations with you, Woody.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's all I want to say for now.
Well, thank you, sweetheart, for what you just said, which is what I heard the most.
Gratitude. That's part of it,
yeah,
too,
right?
Gratitude.
And, yeah, how could there be an awakened person without gratitude and appreciation, mm-hmm. and love and for others, and especially what we found, the depth that we found with each other. And I thank you as fully as you thanked me for being the ideal co-creative partner who draws me out of my core fully, and how life-giving that is, how life-affirming that is, how redemptive that is, really. So I thank you, too. See if there's anything. I guess one of the things I go back to in terms of this being kind of like the final ideas for today's session, I guess I find myself going back to chapter two, which was a series of quotations that the two of us have been collecting for the book, and what spiritual teachers have pointed to as what awakening might be, and all those wonderful quotations. One of your questions being, how do you know if someone's awakened? I still am taken back to that, to what I said earlier, that maybe we can tell an awakened one by the amount of awakening they stir in us.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe the best way to detect and measure the most awakened beings around us, this, and that gets me thinking in terms of whether awakening might have a radiance, emit a radiance. Does awakening emit a radiance that others can sense? Or if not a radiance, a frequency or a vibration that can be detected. I was thinking about Eckhart Tolle because he has struck me as the most awakened person I've ever encountered, and I tried to wonder what it was about him that made me believe that he was awakened, and I'm not sure I got very far when I think about it, but this idea that awakening may have a frequency or a vibration, of course, opens up the whole question of what awareness and energy have in common, or what the energetic nature of consciousness is, which I intuit, but I don't know at all. I don't understand it at all. I guess the last thought that enters to end on is what you know has been an insight I got from the Buddhist writer Holchek in his book, where he says there's no self, there's no thinker, there's no ego, there's only awareness that knows itself.
Right.
I still mm-hmm. sail around that concept. It still sends me into the stratosphere of the unknown. I don't know what that means, but awareness that knows itself, that must be some part of what awakening is coming to understand oneself as an awareness that knows itself. And I'm looking forward to our next conversation already. This has been a great send-off. Do you feel good about it? Do you feel as good about
Absolutely.
It as I do?
Yeah. I do. It's been wonderful. It's been really rich.
Thank you. It's been a banquet of love.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's this sense that there could be a lot more, you know, that almost like the wellspring is bubbling away there, and it's actually quite hard to switch it off. But I think in terms of,
time.
The world of time, we have to switch it off.
Okay.
But it is that sense of getting into something. I can hear it in you, you know, that there's something bubbling, and you could just keep going.
I remember what my father once said. He was writing a rare letter to me, and he said, "Mama said for me to stop now, so I'll have something more to say the next time." So in that spirit, I'll end that way.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I
thank
love
you so much.
I love you, Rosie.
Yeah. Love you, too. and we'll speak soon. Okay, that's the end of our first conversation about Awaken the Whole New Human from Rose Diamond and Woods Elliott at A Whole New World. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.